Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segreto, and this is Franchise Today. Today, we have a very special guest returning to Franchise Today, Deb Evans, president of Deb Evans Consulting and host of the ever-popular podcast, Social Geek Radio. And before we get to Deb, I'd like to chime in with my co-host, Stan Friedman.
How are you, my friend Paul?
I'm doing well. Still here chuckling, thinking about you wailing away like Bernie Sanders. I thought you were going to have a heart attack.
Listen, it's not everybody that can talk with a Brooklyn accent like that and get away with it.
Funny stuff.
And that's about, well, Stan, and that's about that's about the only thing I want to have in common with Bernie.
Yes, I think you're right. You're spot on. Well, Stan, why don't we jump right into the front of the house. What's going on this week?
Just a couple of things to make mention of this morning, and not the least of those, and the first being that franchisees in Seattle look like they may be heading to the Supreme Court. So we all know about Seattle's $15 an hour minimum wage issue, Paul. That's been going on for a couple of years. But according to IFA CEO and President Robert Crisante, the appeal that was sought for the city of Seattle's wage law and was stricken down by a lower court might now be actually heading to the Supreme Court. The IFA and five franchisees in Seattle have actually filed a brief to ask the Supreme Court to give consideration to hearing the case. As everyone will remember, this is kind of where all the noise began with Seattle's law. Companies with more than 500 employees in the U.S. are required to begin paying their employees $15 an hour on the 1st of January next year. Other companies with 500 or fewer employees, which are considered small businesses, have the chance to increase their employee minimum wage in increments. They'll have to begin paying their employees $15 by January 2021, 4 years later than those deemed to be the larger companies. Franchisees, including fast food restaurants and hotels, have been arguing that when calculating the number of employees in the U.S., the law, as it's been written, incorrectly considers the workers employed by those large corporations as their own employees as well. And, of course, that's what triggered this whole thing off. And we'll see where it all ends up, but it looks like IFA and those five Seattle franchisees have filed a brief asking for the Supreme Court to hear the case. So as we used to say in TV years ago, film at 11 on that one, Paul, but it continues. The saga continues. On a brighter note, the franchise business is booming, as we continue to say every week. And nowhere is that more evident than Entrepreneur Magazine's fastest-growing franchisee rankings. Growth is the goal of every franchise system, of course, Paul, but not all achieve it as successfully as those on the fast track who are listed in the February issue of Entrepreneur under the fastest-growing franchises in the country. And to find out what was their secret sauce, Entrepreneur took a deeper dive within the 200, actually spoke with executives from 105 of those companies, and responses as they poured in asking what is the secret sauce to your growth started to generate something of a theme. And the real growth, according to Entrepreneur, is that not only quick growth but sustainable growth, which is what we focus on here every week on Franchise Today, comes from a focus on people. And the focus is not just the people that are the franchisees, but a focus on people throughout the culture. So the franchisees, the employees that they hire, even the customers that they serve, and the corporate staff who are there to support them all. In short, what Entrepreneur has discovered in this piece is that taking care of people and you take care of people and the numbers will take care of themselves. You can read more about this in the current issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, which is the February 2016 issue. We can't say current issue because too many people that listen to us might be listening to us post-February 2016. So the 2016 February issue is the one that it's in if you want to learn more. And as I looked at the list of the 105, Paul, something else became very evident to me. There are young as well as the as legacy companies that are on that list. I mean, there are brand new franchise companies and concepts along with some that have been around forever. So it's not just size and time that that made people aspire to doing the right things that landed them on that list. And that also should be a critical nugget for aspiring young franchisors to understand. You don't have to be around for 100 years to become one of the faster growing concepts. Do it right from the start. Focus on your people, focus on your culture, as well as your products and services, and you can hit that fast track right out of the gate. And then the last thing I wanted to point out, Paul, also something that has a timestamp on it, so I'll do the same as I just did with the Entrepreneur Magazine piece. For those of you that are listening to this podcast post February 1, 2016, feel free to ignore this. For the rest of you, CFE certification for 2016 is coming due. So CFEs that were certified prior to 2013 are due to be recertified, and you should get in touch with Rose DuPont at the IFA so that you don't find yourself losing your certification. So one more time, CFEs who were certified or recertified in 2013, you are due to recertify again before February 1, 2016. Contact Rose DuPont at the IFA or link to the CFE web page off of the IFA's website. And that pretty much takes care of the front of the house for this week, Paul.
Well, we do have some breaking news literally coming across my computer right now. Wendy's may be the latest restaurant chain to fall victim in hacking, as the QSR is now investigating a potential data breach that occurred at an undisclosed number of U.S. units. Reports indicate fraudulent charges may have occurred elsewhere after payment cards were legitimately used at some restaurants, a spokesman for Wendy's said, which really is very timely for me in the upcoming Franchise Expo South, where myself and Lee Plave and Teresa Huska do a symposia on data and social media and franchising. And it's every time we do it, we have all new information because these data breaches are occurring left and right. And that segues into you, Stan. I know you're doing a new session at Franchise Expo. Why don't you give us a little bit of insight on that before we bring our guest on?
Thank you so much for bringing that forward, Paul. Yeah, I'm excited. Got an invitation this year to deliver the A to Z's of buying a franchise to potential franchisees that will be coming and walking the floor of the trade show. And this is a program that Dr. John Hayes has for years done at the IFE in New York. And now Tom Portuzzi and the Expo have invited me to deliver the program for them in Houston and then again in Denver. And I'm looking forward to it. It's another way to get to pay forward, pay back, and help those people that are attending the Expo better make sense out of what's important to them so that when they hit the floor of that trade show, they may do so and not get overwhelmed so quickly by all of the different offerings that they can see on the floor of the show, but be better educated consumers who may know a little bit more about themselves hitting the floor of the show, and will thank Rebecca Monet for that because Zoracle Profiles will be participating with me in the teaching of that three-hour program. And so every one of the attendees will also be privileged enough by Rebecca to receive a bit of a profile on themselves, help them understand which brands and what kinds of businesses might best suit them so that they can hit the floor with a little bit more purpose than just stopping at every single booth and trying to talk things up that might not even apply to them in the first place. So I'm really excited about the privilege and the opportunity to do that. I've written a blog post, too, about franchisors and how they ought to themselves hit that show with a strategy. Don't just hit the trade show with your booth, but come with a strategy for making sense out of generating the highest quality leads possible for the time and money that you invest in participating as an exhibitor at these shows. And that's up on franchiseexpo.com today, and it will link back to the FRM website a little bit later today. So those of you who would like to take a peek at that, you'll find it in either of those places easily enough.
It was a really great article, Stan, and we talk about preparation for trade shows, conferences, and any other type of event within franchising. I don't think there's anybody better than our returning guest, Deb Evans. Deb, welcome back to Franchise Today.
Hello, gentlemen and listeners. Nice to be here. Thank you.
I think the thing that's, you know, most exciting for me today is, as many know, for a couple of years, Deb and I worked very closely together as she was president of Franchise Foundry, and I got to listen to her voice and speak with her every single day. Of course, we still communicate. We're aligned on some projects and clients, and really looking forward to concentrating on our core businesses, which complement each other very well moving forward. But I certainly do miss speaking with you, Deb, because it's not quite as often as it used to be. But anyway, thanks for returning back to Franchise Today.
Sure. And Paul, we have to tell everybody, too, you were surprised last week when you did call me, and I told you that you had a special ringtone in my phone. So I know when you're calling.
Yes. Yes, she does. You know, it's interesting as we're talking today, you know, digitally speaking, who's listening, how Deb and I got together first. I think it's so recently in a Facebook memory. It was like 6 years ago. And I think our first communication was on Twitter. And mm-hmm. for the longest time, we communicate there. And then it kind of eased into some other social media, not really even knowing at that time that we literally lived several miles away from each other, which was really something.
Yeah, it freaks me out when that happens. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, you're in Houston? I think you were in San Antonio when we first met, and then you moved back to the Houston area, and I wasn't up on, like, oh my God, he's in the Woodlands. He's just a few miles away. But yeah, and that's what's, you know, so great, I think, about the whole digital world and cyber world is that my kids and my husband will often laugh when I say, oh, that's my Twitter friend, or that's my Facebook friend, because I've not met them in person, but we're friends. And then when you do meet in person, you just build that strong and, you know, stronger relationship. And it really is possible to have a digital virtual relationship that is just as valuable as that person that lives next door.
I think it's also interesting that my first, I guess, one step removed interaction with Stan actually was on LinkedIn as a former producer of Franchise Today, I guess, was promoting something within the PAFI, Professional Athletes Franchise Initiative, mm-hmm. LinkedIn discussion group. And Stan basically had to reprimand them for it not being promotional. And that's how Stan got on my radar.
Yeah.
Which wasn't exactly a positive experience, was it, Paul?
It was positive for me. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I have a hard time with people who abuse the protocols of social media, and just it's the same as spamming to me. It's just dropping anything anywhere. It's like entering somebody's house without knocking on the door, you know? You're dropping things into rooms or into groups that mm-hmm. don't have any nexus at all to what you're talking about. And it's just it's intrusive to me.
It is.
Hey, Deb, ironically, Deb had a similar experience. Her and AK.
AK, I knew you were going to bring up the Twitter hack. The hashtag. Call them out. Well, you know, going to Stan's point, you know, and this year I'm reading a lot of, and it's happening way too often. And I'm going to, you know, throw my piece of advice or my two cents worth is that, you know, if you've invited me to connect on LinkedIn for whatever reason, the first thing I always do is I respond with, thank you very much. Why would you like to connect? And that's your opportunity to do that sales pitch or say whatever it might be. You know, I'm in Houston, or I see that you're part of the franchise world or whatever, you know, do that then. And you get it out in the air. It's like, okay, well, fine. I think we'll be a great connection. But don't send me a LinkedIn request and then, you know, not be upfront then when I've asked. And a day later, start spamming me with emails and, you know, invites and sales pitch. It's like, whoa, you just lost that. And, you know, I absolutely disconnected, you know, at that point.
You know, Deb, I look at you on LinkedIn and I see, and this is what I typically, my protocol for saying yay or nay to somebody on LinkedIn is I look at my number of shared connections with them first.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see that there's dozens of other people that are in my world that are in theirs, even when I'm too busy to take a deeper dive, I feel comfortable enough that mm-hmm. there's at least a reason for this person and me to have a connection. And it might not be today or tomorrow that I figure it completely out. But when I see, like I looked at your LinkedIn this morning, by the way, I learned some things about you this morning, but looking at your LinkedIn today, you know, I see you with like 2,150 followers and 545 shared connections with me. If I didn't know who you were, I would not have thought twice, you know, to link
right.
in with you if we weren't already there.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned some other things about you today, too.
And what might that be?
Well, beside the fact that you've displaced Kim Komando as my digital diva, which is what I'm going to call you from now on, I learned that you were a franchisee and that you were a franchisor.
Yes.
Not only a franchisor, but the president of a franchisor organization before you became a supplier. So you've done the triple crown.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I can take it a little further back. So before I became a franchisee, I actually worked for the franchisee. And,
actually, I saw that, too.
Yeah, I was a franchise employee. Yep. And just a surprise to me as I was the employee and the franchisee was with the Computer Explorers Technology Education franchise. I loved teaching technology to kids. It was just like, wow, did not know this was going to be my passion, and I loved it. And then the franchisee gave me an offer. Well, how would you like to do some sales and marketing for the brand? Like, sure, I can go into schools and pitch this. This is cool. And then she turned it around really quick and said, well, how'd you like to buy the brand? I'm losing interest and you really have a passion for it. Oh, sure. Why not? So, yeah. So franchisee, employee, franchisee, franchise support and the franchise of two actually territories. So it became one of the first multi-unit territory owners under Computer Explorers, and then went to the corporate office as franchise support and then franchise brand president. So
I know Paul,
shoes.
Mm-hmm. Paul's going to have 1,000 questions for you, but before he gets to any of those that are relevant to the topic of today's program, my big question for you is, how did you cross a bridge from being an administrative assistant at the Office of Congressional Affairs
for
the Nuclear Regulatory Agency? What road did you travel to take that to franchising?
That whole congressional nuclear life that I lived for several years in Washington and then in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, was quite an experience, and I loved it. But the bridge that I traveled it's called family. I started having children and realizing that I didn't want to work that 9-to-5 or actually was like 8-to-10 job every day and leave my children in the care of somebody else. So I then started looking into in-home daycare. I was a licensed child care provider. And from there, found the franchise, the technology education franchise, and got involved with that and then into the franchising as my kids got older. So, it was Congressional Affairs, The Hill, all that. I don't do politics anymore. That's about all I'll say about the politics.
So then is it any wonder that in our small world, which, you know, we always say there's 6 degrees of separations in most people's lives in franchising, it's usually 0.6 or 0.06.
Mm-hmm.
How ironic then that you and Paul wind up not only together for some period of time, but Paul, you got a little bit in common with that trifecta or triple crown as well, don't you?
Yeah, I started out as a franchisee, wound up going on the corporate side, working my way up all the way to president of Atlas Transmission, then went on the other, and then continued as president of Moran Brands, right before Pete Baldin had come on. And when I left Moran Brands, I became a multi-unit franchisee and worked through that and then wound up on the supplier side. So very similar, although unless you want to compare living in an Italian household to a nuclear agency, I really didn't have much to do with nuclear.
Well, I'll tell you, though, there is one other person that'll make this a bit of a trivia question, Paul, and then I'm going to back away from this for a moment and let you get on with some of the real questions of the day. But, Deb, there is another supplier in Pennsylvania that I thought of when I read about your early years before franchising. Do you have any idea who that might be? Still a very active, well-known franchise supplier in Pennsylvania who you may have just a little bit of something in common with. Any guess?
No, you stumped me. And, of course, as soon as you tell me, I'm going to go, oh, crap, I should have thought of that.
Well, when I read about you and nuclear regulatory, I thought immediately of Bernie Siegel.
Oh, yeah.
Siegel Financial. Because in his past life, Bernie was actually a rocket scientist, and very few people know that.
I knew I should have thought that. Yeah, and I just posted might have been just last week, my first attendance, so funny you brought him up, my first attendance, I think it was my first IFA convention that I went to. You know, you feel like a fish out of water when you go to these conventions.
Right.
You don't know anybody, but you make friends. I ended up meeting so many friends and then sitting at a table and met Bernie and his wife, Ken Colburn, we know, Nick Freeman from College Hunks, Phyllis Pieri. You know, these are names of people that they're still in franchising and I still see them every year. But I've got a great picture that I posted on a Throwback Thursday of that, you know, I was there with Bernie. What a wonderful person. And then that's when I realized, too, it's like, oh, my God, you're in Philly. You know, I was just across the river. We had so much in common. And, it's a great world to live in. And you find those connections. And you can find them digitally. Or you can find them, you know, when you go to these conference and conventions.
Yeah, Bernie is one of the great ones. I always love running into Bernie and his wife, Shelley, and, of course, Bernie's Nate Greenberg's father-in-law and the whole family. It's just fantastic people. You know, you talk about, you know, first time at an event, Deb, and I think a lot of our listeners would love to hear some of your insight into, you know, how best to prepare, especially from a digital perspective. How best to prepare for these upcoming events. What recommendations would you give them?
Okay, so the first thing, you know, you register, and you're going to go to, and we'll go ahead and we'll just use IFA Convention 2016 as an example. Now, I always look for, and if you're digitally minded, I'm going to look for a hashtag. Is there a hashtag about this event? And there is, hashtag IFA 2016. You always use that if you're going to talk about your attendance if you're on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. Know that. Is there an app? You know, a lot of these conferences and conventions now have apps. There is an app to attend the IFA conventions. It's under the, it's called IFA Connect app if you go to Google Play or if you go to iTunes. And then you're going to look for IFA Events. And you download the app, and it makes it very easy for you to connect digitally to the convention you're going to. So right now, my schedule to attend this upcoming convention is all on my phone. That's my third arm. So everything is there. I can connect to members. I can look and see who the speakers are. So, you know, do as much homework in preparation before you go to a convention or conference or an event by seeing what you can find out there on the web and make that connection there and then start promoting it. You mentioned Stan, and Stan mentioned his article earlier about the upcoming Franchise Expo South. You know, if you have the opportunity to be able to write a digital white paper or a blog post or share something about the upcoming event, share it. If you've got some great tips, or if you have questions, hey, I've never attended IFA convention, what should I be looking for? You know, throw that out there, and somebody will connect with you and give you some great pointers and tips. There's the first couple of steps.
You know, I use those conference apps long after those conferences are mm-hmm. over too. Most people don't realize that the app stays live. You can find so many touch points for easy connection with some people who you might have met at one of those events, and now you're trying to figure out how to reconnect with. And if you went back to the conference app, you can find all their information right there in a place that you probably never would have thought to go again. So a lot of those apps that you download aren't only for the moment in time that you've downloaded them. They can become resource tools that can help you reconnect with people even after the events are long gone.
Right.
Yeah, I think that plays well into, you know, what I promote a lot of times, which is, you know, tell people what you're going to do, do it, and tell people what you've done. It's kind of that same, you know, process, plan going in.
Absolutely.
While you're there.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, you know, afterwards. Deb, go ahead. I stepped on you on that one.
No, you're fine. And, you know, and then the connections that, so we know we're going to go to this convention that's going to span between 3 and 4 days. And we know that we're going to be attending. I've got it on my calendar. I have all the sessions I'm going to attend. Well, when you do that and you plan your attendance, then you know when you're open availability is. Okay, I really want to connect with Stan when I get to San Antonio, but I don't want to just send a note, hey, Stan, let's connect when we get in San Antonio. My note is going to be, hey, Stan, let's connect when we get in San Antonio. How about we meet for lunch at the opening session, and this is about where you can find me, because you're talking 3,500 people in a big mm-hmm. room. It's like, okay, where's that guy Stan, especially if it's somebody you don't know, you've not met in person.
Invitation
so
accepted,
Deb. Specific.
Invitation accepted. I'll be watching for the
I block my calendar when I go to a convention like that, so that I don't have any downtime. Just plain downtime. If I'm going to have some downtime to have a drink at the bar, which we all tend to do, you know, then it's going to be at the tweet up, or it's going to be at the networking events, or it's going to be, you know, I'm going to go to Franchising Gives Back, and who else is going to be there? And I try to meet as many people as I can, and I try to meet as many new people as I can. And so, you know, go, if you're going to the event, you're going to look to see who's attending, who's registered, if that's an option within the event. Or you're going to an event in a city that who else lives in that city? So often when I travel, now San Antonio is close for me, but let's say, you know, it's in Denver, Colorado, then I'm going to go to my LinkedIn and I'm going to do a search within LinkedIn by location. Who else is in Denver, Colorado? You know, you have so many LinkedIn connections that you forget. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot that Laurie lives outside of Denver. I'm going to make a note that I can see her personally, because we're digitally connected. I'm going to see her personally somewhere in that travel time that I'm going to be in that city. So,
you
know,
got me once that way, didn't you? Didn't you find me in Texas when you, I think I was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So we were connected, and because you publicly posted on Facebook or LinkedIn that you were traveling to San Antonio and you were catching the flight, I, you know, blasted an email to you, caught you just as you were getting ready to get on that plane, and said, really? Where are you going to be in San Antonio? Come to find out, Paul, I could almost see. I was at Over the Top mm-hmm. Cake Supplies. I could almost see the hotel he was going to be arriving in at, you know, within the hour. And I stopped, and I had iced tea before I hit the road to come back to Houston. You know, take advantage of those opportunities. You're not often in the same city with that person that you're connected to. Almost forgot about that, Stan. That was cool.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that well. You know, it's so overwhelming going to some of these events. And, of course, San Antonio is going to be a little bit more intimate, although because it's a smaller city than we're used to. But we are going to be in 3 different host hotels, which means you're going to see a lot of the same people in those hotels and miss the opportunity to meet some of the other people. And taking a lot of Deb's advice today is certainly going to make it a lot easier, especially for a lot of the newcomers that are coming into town, because they are definitely overwhelmed. So, you know, make sure, you know, you get your Twitter profiles up, your Facebook's up, your LinkedIn profile up to date. And before we, Stan, take us into the midway point, and then we'll go ahead and talk with Deb about some of the technology that she's been using that some of the people can use as well.
Why don't you ask Deb one more question before you ask me to do that for you, Paul?
Okay. You know, and this might take us a while. Deb, you're always, in my mind, on the forefront of new technology that comes out. And I know you've really latched on to Periscope. With respect to, you know, these events coming up, and I know you're all geared up to use Periscope at these events. Tell us how and what benefit you think it'll bring you.
So when I go to an event, I do my best. When I said I don't have any downtime, I do schedule downtime, but it's fun. So I'm going to go to a city that I've not been to before, let's say San Antonio, or when I went to New York City. Okay, both cities I've been to. But, you know, schedule some time so that you can take advantage of the location of the city. And I like to learn something new about the city, and I'll tour it. Well, if this is something that I don't know, then I bet it's something that somebody else doesn't know. So when I went to Chicago in the summer, in August, for a Franchise Capital Exchange, I like to walk along Lakeshore Boulevard. Well, I had no idea there were people out there training for triathlons, and they were swimming. And it's like, oh my God, that water. And it was a cold day. They were swimming. So I opened up Periscope, explained why I was in Chicago for an event, but that morning I was on my daily walk, and look at these swimmers. They're in Chicago. And then you're engaged. Periscope is a one-to-many type of app. So I'm sharing information, but I could have 30, 40, or maybe only 3 viewers watching this Periscope video live streaming. But they're going to ask questions. Oh my gosh, you know, where did they go in the water? You know, how long are they swimming? How far are they swimming? Can you show me? You know, what else do you see when you're walking along Lakeshore Boulevard? So you're giving this tour. So I'm learning, they're learning, and I'm engaged. But I'm also, you know, I'm sharing that this is why I'm in Chicago. Somebody may have picked up a little bit of information about Franchise Capital Exchange they didn't know about. When you're in a session, and if you have, I will say, you know, with Periscope, you really do have to have some good Wi-Fi connection. But let's say we're in a session. Jeffrey Hazlett's going to be the speaker. Well, that's a pretty cool dude and a good presentation. I know it's, you know, going to be good. I'm going to open up Periscope, and as long as it's okay with your conference host, I'm going to share that presentation via Periscope so that maybe, you know, the 150 people in the room are watching it, but then there could be thousands that can then pick it up on Periscope, and they can too learn something that I'm learning at the same time. So Periscope, I see it sticking around for a while, the live streaming and the ability to connect. And now Periscope it should be coming out really soon. It will play live within your Twitter feed. It used to be that you'd only receive a link that says Deb's live on Periscope, click on the link and, you know, you'd be redirected. Soon it's going to play right inside Twitter. So no one has to click on a link. They can just sit there and watch it. Just like you think about Facebook, and if you upload a video, how it auto plays. The same thing should happen here on Twitter with Periscope.
And this is Franchise Today, folks. You're listening to Deb Evans, my favorite digital diva. And we are brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, a business accelerator helping early stage franchisors stand up and emerging franchise brands move forward. The Franchise Foundry is headquartered in Houston, Texas, and headed by my co-host, Paul Segretto. Franchise Today is also brought to you by yours truly. I'm Stan Friedman, NFRM Solutions, where we offer robust, out-of-the-box CRM and content management software solutions, all tailored specifically to the needs of franchisors for the management of their relationships with both prospective and existing franchisees. You know, if you take what we do here and add that to what Paul does there, and then multiply that by all the connectivity that the digital diva, Deb Evans, I hope you like that name, Deb, because it's yours now.
Okay.
If you take all of that and put it together, it really is just like franchising, isn't it? It's not linear math. 1 + 1 + 1 equals wow. All the things that we can do with tools that are all really at everyone's disposal without a great deal of expense. Isn't that true?
Very true. Absolutely.
Very, very true. And like us, Stan, Deb has been involved in podcasting for quite some time. Social Geek Radio has been nationally acclaimed. And her and her co-host, Jack Monson, another friend of the show, have been doing a great, great job. And that's also Wednesdays at 7 p.m., correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Who's your
Have
guest
fun
tonight?
With that. 6 years in.
Yeah. Who's your guest tonight?
Well, I'm going to give you a little hint here and let you know that we're actually not live that much anymore. We started recording our episodes and they play on Wednesday nights, but you can still listen live via socialgeekradio.com. But tonight we're going to have Griff Emery with Shout About Us, which, you know, we're talking about digital and you know, relationships and things like that. I think Shout About Us, if your listeners should check it out, because it gives you the analytics, but it gives you all the information about what's being said about your brand, whether it's on Yelp or Angie's List or Twitter or blog post or Google or wherever it might be. So they've got a pretty nifty software package that keeps you in the know and what your reputation is online.
Well, you know, Deb, when we talk about connecting with people, and, mm-hmm. and obviously with all the chatter in that very crowded digital space that's out there, there has to be levels of relevance. And if you're not putting out, as we know, information that's, you know, pertinent, relevant, informative to an audience that's out there, you're not going to be taken very seriously. So obviously there's the friendly side of it, but there's also the relevant side of it. And of course, that leads into, you know, an article that you wrote last year or 2 years ago for Franchising World, when you talked about, you know, content is king has been replaced with content is queen. Audience is the king. Content is the servant. Social media is the kingmaker, and several others. And I've even been quoted from one of the Frantech conferences where I said, you know, content is king, but it's what you do with the content that makes the kingdom. And it all comes about being focused on quality content. So with that in mind, what can individuals do leading into events, or what they should be doing all year long, you know, to build that personal brand of theirs that allows them or affords them the opportunity to be taken seriously? And as Stan said, you know, if somebody's connected to 40 or 50 or 100 of his mutual friends, he automatically looks in and says, maybe this is somebody I should be looking at. But, you know, a lot of people aren't connected to a lot of people, and they do have relevance. So how could those people shine through by putting out the type of content that makes it seem relevant and a person you really want to meet with?
Well, we all know that, you know, you should follow a rule, whether it's the 80-20 rule or 60-40 rule. And I met with somebody yesterday, a small business owner here in Houston, and said, "I, what do you mean? What do I do?" You know, the content that you provide should be relevant to certainly your industry, but provide and get be informational and educational. And then less about the sales and the this is what I do and the promoting. But don't forget to do that. You know, so often I'll read content on the various social platforms, and it's never do I figure out what do they do? What are they selling? What are they promoting? They're sharing a lot of great stuff here, but I don't know specifically what they do. So, you know, we can't forget that piece of it. And then when you're leading into an event, like we're talking about going to events, it's not so much that, hey, I'm going to be in San Antonio, come see me, but, hey, this is who's going to be in San Antonio. A little bit about the speakers. Like, I'm excited to go to, you know, whatever session it is, because this is what I hope to learn. And not to forget to tag those speakers and let them know that you're excited, you're going to come to the event. So I'm going to go back to the mention of Jeffrey Hazlett. Last year, Jeffrey spoke at IFA convention, and I knew he was going to be there, and I've read his books, and so I was tweeting and making mentions and saying, you know, hey, I'm really excited to see him. Of course, he saw it and said, Deb, I'm excited to see you too. Like, okay, that's pretty cool. He must have somebody managing his Twitter profile, and I actually know that he does it himself. But when I actually went into the session, and after the session, walked up to him to say hello. He knew exactly who I was. He saw me walk in, and he recognized me because of my Twitter profile and my picture. So he made a note that he saw me walk in and that we had been tweeting. So I walked up to say hello. It's not all about what you do or who you are, but who are you meeting? What do you want to learn? What kind of information can you share that, other people are going to want to grab?
So, Deb, as we talk about all of this, and to me, I could spend hours just listening to these kinds of conversations because they're so fascinating to me, the different ways that digital and networking can take what we do naturally to such higher levels of engagement. Let's talk about engagement. You're in your own consultancy now, and you've got all this wealth of knowledge and this base of knowledge. How do franchisors engage you? How do they learn to learn from you, and how easy is it? Are you somebody that a large franchisor only can benefit from, or can emerging franchisors find you in ways that would not price them out of the opportunity to benefit from the intellectual capital you share?
Well, I'd say the first thing would be, to connect with me, everybody's got their own way of wanting to connect, whether it's a text message. There's still some folks they'll find my phone number and they'll text a message to me, a LinkedIn message, a Facebook message, a Twitter direct message. So you make that first connection, whatever platform you're comfortable, or you actually just dial the phone and we call. But, you do the assessment as you do with any type of business you're going to work with. First you're going to assess, is this going to be a good fit? Am I the right person? Do I need to hand this off to somebody else that can handle the volume? Because I'm just a one person shop, and maybe this is going to be a bigger job, and I'll certainly be honest and let that person, that individual, that brand know, this is bigger than what I can do. Let me hand it off to, or make an introduction to, somebody that's more appropriate. But it all depends on what the needs are. If it's a franchisee, I will tell you, I love franchisees. That's something that I miss within when I was a franchisor, is that franchisee relationship that you can have. And to watch a franchisee grow from their digital presence, which will then convert to their sales and their profits, and watch then, because that one or two franchisees, when the system is doing well, and then the franchise system is doing well, that really just excites me. I love to be able to train, and it goes back to my education days too, of being able to teach them how to fish so that they're not always relying on somebody fishing for them. But then there are times that they need someone. They say, I really want to go to that conference, but I can't go. Can you go on my behalf? Can you do the social media for me on my behalf and share the tweets and send the Facebook post and LinkedIn? It's like, sure, I can do that and collect that information for you. But then, be that community manager on site. That's something too that, might be of interest to your listeners. There's so many tools
really,
that I can share.
Yeah, it's really a valuable service. As Deb was pointing out, franchisees, franchise executives, founders, it really comes down to, individuals that really need to have their horizon broadened when it comes to social media. The other day was a five-year memory on Facebook on an article I wrote, Social Media, What's Holding You Back? And it's a lot of the same things that are holding people back today. That day I had written that I spoke with one such person, a successful entrepreneur, that was emphatic. He knew that using social media was important for their brand, but he was very hesitant because he just didn't know how to take it to the next level. And I met another one yesterday, almost an identical conversation. And for any of the listeners out there that are in those same type of predicaments, my recommendation is, contact Deb, whichever way you feel like contacting her. I think she'd respond to a drone going over a house.
I'm probably flying that drone.
Yeah, right, with a banner that said, call me on the back of it. But, no, really, take this from somebody that's worked closely with Deb for so long. If you're having a hard time, especially stepping out into this space, nobody better than Deb Evans to give a call. Give her a call. I think you'll be extremely pleasantly surprised.
Thank you. Well, there's so many brands that are doing a great job with their social presence. I love it. You know, they've got Facebook under control and they're tweeting and their LinkedIn company pages. And then I know that they're doing a conference. I'm like, whoa, that's really cool. So-and-so has a conference and it's going on in Philadelphia. I'm going to, you know, scan my social platforms and see what I can learn. What are they sharing? And then I go, boom, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's like, well, wait a minute. It makes me nuts.
I see you keep posting that about agencies that are promoting social media and they have a horrible platform themselves.
So my Facebook post yesterday, oh my God, it was so funny. I mean, when I realized that, you know, it's a consulting, social media consulting firm, I go, okay, cool. Let's, you know, see where they are on Facebook. Let's see where they are on Twitter and LinkedIn. And then you see nothing, nothing, nothing. Or a year ago, it's like, really? Why would I hire you? Why would anybody hire you? Now, granted, we get busy working for your clients so that what you're promoting or what this agency is doing and does a great job promoting their clients and they're doing I knew that they were doing a good job for their clients. But they forget to post about themselves and what they do. And the first thing, and let's just think of franchise lead generation, what does a prospect do? They want to look at an abracadoodle franchise. They're going to Google it. They're going to see what they're doing. And if they've got a good social presence, they're okay. And they learn as much as they can about Rosemarie and everybody on the team. And that's awesome. And then that prospect calls and they go forward with the franchise development. Same thing with the social media firm. Whoever is handling, you know, that firm's social presence should be social as well. Because I'm going to check you out. I'm going to say, okay, what are you doing, Mr. Social Media Firm? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Okay, I know who your clients are. Why would I hire you?
That was funny yesterday. You said their last tweet was in 2014. Last Facebook post was in October 2015, and the LinkedIn icon on the website is a dead end. Would you hire them to handle your social media?
But you know what happened with that post? And the person that, or the firm that I was directing it to, I'm sure never saw it because they're not on social. But
right.
I can't tell you how many phone calls I got or messages saying, oh, okay, I hear you. Thanks very much. Like, no, I wasn't talking about you, but let me go look at your profile. Oh, yeah. Yep, I was talking about you, just didn't know it. So all of a sudden I see some new Facebook posts. I see some new tweets. I'm like, oh, good. You know what? If all it did was generate, you know, people to be looking at their own business, good. I'm glad I helped.
Sure. Well, Paul, before you take it up, before you take the wrap on our visit with Deb, I'm on her website looking at your blog right now, and anybody who came here and had a look at this would definitely be wanting to be in touch with you, because this is the kind of clean-looking and mixed bag of video and text and photos, and I mean it. You know, if you don't want to pick up the phone and call Deb right away, come here first and have a look. And Deb, you need to let our audience know exactly how they can find you and whether it's better to do that on LinkedIn or Facebook or just coming to your website, because when you Google your name, you're everywhere.
Oh, thank you. Like we said earlier, any platform that works, I'm sorry, my watchdog is going to let me know that there's a delivery.
Your social dog.
Can hear it. don't knock on my door. My watchdog's going to get you. But Deb at DebEvansConsulting.com is a great way to find me. Just pop me an email.
Awesome. Deb, thanks again for returning as a guest on Franchise Pay. I think this is the second or third time that you've been on. I listened not too long ago for one of the earliest guest appearance you had on the show, and it's quite a long time ago. So we definitely have to do this more often. And at the very least, I'll see you at the upcoming events, and I look forward to it.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was great being here.
And well, Paul can brag about the multiple experiences, but this was a first for me, and I always love chatting with you, Deb. So thank you personally as well.
Thank you, Stan. I'll see you soon.
You bet.
Yep. Thanks. Well, Stan, it's that time for, back at the house. I do want to thank last week's guest, Steve Baxter, for being on the show with us. It was a very enlightening show, and it was definitely a robust and fast-moving show as I listened to it again. And then give us a rundown on our upcoming guests.
Well, we've got Tom Portuzzi joining us next week, and how timely is that as we ramp up and get ever closer to Franchise Expo South? Robert Crisante, president and CEO of IFA, will be joining us as the run-up to the 2016 convention down your way in Texas. And I think we've got Jerry Darnell after that, which I don't know how we're going to manage an hour. Only an hour. You know, it's kind of funny about Jerry. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people don't realize this about Jerry, but Jerry's a man of few words. And when he writes, it's one or two words. And when he speaks, he is right to the point and on to the next thing. But who do you know in this world that has shared more experiences with more people and talk about social and connectivity? I don't know anybody who is as wired together with so many people for so many years and hasn't lost even a scintilla of any memory of any conversation that he's ever had with any of them than Jerry Darnell. So that's going to be an interesting and fun experience because there's so much history inside that guy who is, I'm proud to call one of my best friends.
Yeah. Jerry put social in social media long before it was social media. That's for sure.
Yeah, you are so true. And, Paul, just one other back of the house thing. I may as well just go the full Monty here with one more dated event. But for those who will be pulling this show down and listening to it prior to next week or in early February 3rd, the Women's Franchise chapter here in Atlanta has been getting very aggressive and growing very aggressively and doing great, great programs. And they're going to be doing one on franchise sales, the lifeblood of the business, on February 3rd here in Atlanta at the City Club of Buckhead. And so for those who hear this prior to February 3rd, if you're anywhere in proximity to Atlanta, please come here at Leslie Cuban of Franet, Robin Gagnon of We Sell Restaurants, and Michael Blake of Arpeggio Advisors as they lend their expertise on franchise development. I'm just real proud to see the Women's Franchise Network Atlanta chapter start to really gain a lot of traction. Clarissa Bradstock and others have been responsible for that, and they're a great group here, and they are very, very vocal about inviting not just women, but men, women, management, or support personnel, anyone interested in learning more about franchising. They are here to be a resource for you.
You know, Stan, we also have, we've wrapped up our guest appearances for February by booking Anthony Owen, the CEO and founder of Minalto, which, as we know in the space, is a software solution provider to manage multiple touch points of social media across multiple locations in the brand. Very, very insightful individual, especially for large brands trying to maintain, and control integrity of the brand and messaging with hundreds, if not thousands, of locations. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with him as well. So we've got a real solid lineup all the way through February.
Awesome, Paul. I'm looking forward to Anthony as a guest as well. And, a lot of interesting times that we're entering, and we're coming into that time of year where all of us as franchisors, most everyone that is in the business, will be at the IFA convention where we all kind of trade hats. I always look at the IFA convention as IFA mothership is more like the franchisor, and we all become like franchisees, and we all come together to share and exchange information, great ideas, and best practices, and take those home
for another year. And all those new relationships that we get to create and plug in with all those friends that we only get to see a few times a year, it's definitely my favorite season of the year, Paul, and I know that's true for you too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd like to leave our listening audience with one thought today based upon something I read the other day. And we always talk, Stan, about sustainable, sensible franchising. And we're never too smart, too big, too much of an expert to learn. A couple of weeks ago on Franchise Today, you mentioned the top 10 in the Franchise 500. And you mentioned Jimmy John's as jumping to the number one spot. That means the biggest, the greatest franchise system out there, at least in the eyes of the Franchise 500. And I know they're a favorite brand for both of us. But, you know, I read something the other day that they closed all three locations on Staten Island that failed. And it just, you know, brought to light, you know, that fine line between success and failure. And even the biggest, the number one, you know, has to stay on top of their game. So if you think you know too much and you think that nobody can teach you anything else, you know, then I would suggest you get your butt to the franchise convention, IFA 2016 in San Antonio, because we can all learn. We could all make improvements because none of us are too big to be knocked off the pedestal.
Well said, Paul. I think that's a great note to end on.
Yep. So next week, Tom Portizzi is our guest. Until then, my name is Paul Segreto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out.